Father, we ask and receive this morning insight, revelation, knowledge of your Son Jesus. Let our minds look away unto him, where he is, where we are. Let all thoughts be fixed on the realities of what he has accomplished in us and what he's doing through us. We behold him as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Matthew's Gospel 16. Matthew's Gospel 16. Or the synoptic account of Matthew. Because what's the gospel in there anyway? Matthew's Gospel 16. Now let us start from verse 13. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Follow this. And they said, some say that was John the Baptist, others Elijah. And others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said unto them, verse 15, But who ye say ye that I am? And in verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Okay, verse 18. And I'll say unto you, also unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at 19. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Don't forget, we said the Father builds the church. Because the church is not a gathering, the church is a family. The Father founded the family. Hallelujah. The church is the work of the Father. Amen. Father founded the family. So in John 5:17, here's Jesus. He says, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. My Father walketh hitherto, and I walk. John 5:17. In 19, he says, the Son can do nothing of his own self. Nothing. In fact, that's so clear in John chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. John's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 10 to 12. Watch this. That's in John 14. Believe thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. He doeth the works. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And so we have come to see the work of the Father. We said yesterday, the Father was involved in the incarnation. He was involved in the 3.5 years ministry of Jesus. Of course, the 3.5 years altogether. We also found out he was involved in how he was given. He was involved in his death. He was involved in his burial. And definitely, he showed forth his power in his ascension. Praise God. Watch this. So the Father's work is the Son. John 15:1. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, he calls him husbandman so you will know that he walks. And it's not a joint effort. It's his work. He calls him husbandman, geogos in the Greek, which is a farmer. Used for those who sow and nurture plants to growth. So we said yesterday, the Father nurtures us into growth. Our spiritual growth is not the Father abandoning us to see what we will turn out to be. Hallelujah. Our spiritual growth is a family fact. It's a family fact. It's not something outside the family. It is still the Father. And we saw that if we are not trained by the Father, then we are bastards. But we are not bastards. We are legitimate. Praise God. We have the spirit of adoption. So we are trained by the Father. We are instructed by the Father. Glory to his name. I said glory to his name. Pay attention here now. In John 14 verse 2, Jesus says, where I am, there, verse 3, there you may be also. Because in verse 2, he says, in my Father's household. Oh yeah, house. There are many temples. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And we have studied what that meant. Hetumatizo, which is I'm going to create room in you for the Father to dwell. Just like the song he sang out by the Spirit. The song he sang out this morning by the Spirit says to us that we are the Father manifest. That's what we are. We are the Father manifest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, in verse 20 of John 14, he says, in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and I am in you, and also you in me. I want us to see something quickly. Just quickly. Jesus uses a term that if you don't pay attention, you see, in Bible study, sometimes the English application may not be exact. I'll tell you what I mean. That's why it's vital that you read the entire book. You read the entire book to capture what he was saying. For example, I wish I could say other things, but let's just stick to this. Notice, for example, when we say, the just shall live by faith. Now, in my head, what that means is that I'll go out by faith, I'll eat by faith, I will drink by faith. That means I'll eat nothing, actually. But actually, you notice that the writer uses the word walk and he uses the word live. They are not the same. When he uses the word live, it's the opposite of dead. Because we were dead in sins and justified. So we are justified by faith and then we are alive. That is, we are alive through justification by faith. It's not lifestyle. Mm-mm. It is existence. But you see, in the English, I would have just said, the just shall live by faith. But many people, they actually translated that way. Meanwhile, he's talking about becoming justified by faith. That is, you are justified by faith. Until now, you are dead in sins, but by faith shall live. So, if I were to translate that in today's language, I would say that the just shall by faith live. Shall by faith live. That is, he comes alive. The opposite of death. Now, notice what where I was going to. In John 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus consistently uses a term. And that term, notice, is I go to the Father. Or better still, verse 2, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, it says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place. So the first thing he says, I go to prepare a place. You forget that. Then, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So, what is the going for? Huh? What is the going for? For who? I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am there you may be. Pay attention now. I go to prepare a place for you. Where is he going? In my father's family, there are many temples. So I go to prayer place. Then again, he says in verse 4, and whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And they asked him, where are you going? Then he says, I am the way, the truth, which means the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now notice, what is the coming to the Father? Is it salvation? Well, yes, but not exactly that alone. He just told you, I go to prepare a place. So when he says, no man cometh to the Father, he's talking about the same thing. Now, you follow on. So they said, if you have known me, you shall have known my Father, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. They said, show us the Father. He that has seen me, he says, has seen the Father. So he goes on and on and on. Then in verse 12, verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than this shall he do, because. Now, that because I go to my Father, is it absence? Is he saying, I'll go away from you? No. Because I go to my Father to do what? Huh? To do what? To do what? Prepare a place for you. So it's not absence, it's actually presence. That's what he's saying. I go to prepare a place for you. Notice. Verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. So, the going is a coming. Hallelujah. You get it? The going is a coming because he said, where I am, there you be also. In other words, the going is a coming. Let's follow on. It's going to make sense shortly. Yeah, a little while, the world sees me no more. Because you see me, because I live, you shall live also. In that day, you shall know I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that keepeth my commandments, and he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, is he that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall love my Father. And I will manifest myself to him. Look at 23. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. Can you see? The going is a coming. And make our abode with him. So, he says in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Hallelujah. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come unto you. I go away and come unto you. If you love me, you will rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. Verse 28. So the going is a coming. That going to the Father is a coming in. You need to understand his language. In John 15 again, 26. For when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. Can you see it again? It's a coming. Even the Spirit of truth that proceeds from the Father, he shall testify of me. Look at John 16. Verse 7. Glory, glory, glory. This will make sense now. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. So the going is a coming. Hallelujah. Let me see if you understand this. The going is actually a coming. It's not an absence. That's why he said, he that believes on me, the works I do, he will do because I go. That is because I'm coming to dwell in you. So he said, whatever you ask, I will do it. So he's not absent, he's actually present. Let me see if you understand that. Hallelujah. Just some simple Bible study. So you mustn't lift words to make a meaning out of what he's saying. The going is actually a coming. So one other thing it means, which we're going to examine this morning, when it says, I go to the Father, what's he talking about? Again, say, where I am, there you be also. You notice that what he's referring to is in his resurrection. And not just his resurrection from the dead, his exaltation. Where he now is at the Father's right hand. I've explained the word right hand to you. The word right hand is similar but not the same. When Pharaoh, he saw Joseph. And he put a ring in his hands. And he said, everything in this land is under you, except me. So, Joseph began to take charge of things. And then there was Pharaoh in there. And Joseph began to take charge of things. So, everything that happened in the land, if I read Genesis, said nothing happened without him. That is similar, but it's not the same. Because the Father's right hand means that the Father will not be seen. Only the Son will be seen. In other words, he will stay in that stead. All authority is with him. So, right hand is not the right side of your body. No. Right hand is every authority that you have. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? Every authority that you have is the right hand. So, what does this mean? Now, don't forget again. We said, how was the Father glorified in the Son? When he rose up, he brought many sons. Can you remember that yesterday? Many sons to glory. So, he is not glorified just because Jesus was from the dead. Jesus was not the first person to be raised from the dead. No, he was not. That he died physically, then he's raised from the dead. He wasn't the first person. But he was the first. From the dead, dead. That is not just a physical resurrection, but a spiritual exaltation. He was the first. Listen carefully. And what was unique about it is that he became the archetype of a new race. He became the prototype of a new humanity. Because if he came back from the dead and all we had was the same humanity, then the Father is not glorified. Then sin is glorified. But you see, he's up from the dead and he became a captain. He became the firstborn. He became the head of the body. In other words, he didn't rise alone. He rose with a new humanity. That is the Father's glory. There's the glory of the incarnation, only begotten. Then there's now the glory of the resurrection. Where, listen carefully, do you notice that Jesus, let me slow down a little bit. Praise God. His incarnation is the Father glorified. The Father has, there's glory of the Father. John 1:14, John 1:18. But his resurrection, that is, he already has the glory of the Father. He goes around with the glory of the Father. He is the glory of the Father. But that's not all the glory. So in his resurrection, imagine one who has glory is now glorified. John 17. Verse 2. He is now glorified. That's Jesus. John 17, 2. You see, let me say this quickly. A whole number of Bible teaching, not many, is so focused on self. What can I get out of it? How can I make money? How can this have an impact in, and that's what people think. Did you know that the gospel thriving in any place in the scriptures did not affect their economy. Did you know that? Did you know that during the times of Paul, when the gospel was taught in nations, there was slavery? Do you know that? Do you know there was tyranny? Did you know that? Did you know that there was poverty? So, I hear people say, let's apply these things. That's where error starts from. What are you applying? You don't apply truth, you only know it. Hallelujah. Say, let's apply it. How would we apply it? So, they see the knowledge of God in Christ as a means to an end. It's not an end for them. That's where error starts from. It's error. It's error. They don't think the knowledge of God is self-sufficient. So, you begin to see 4 things to do, 6 things to do, 7 things not to do. We have a teaching out there, what to do the word. Make sure you lay your hands on it. What to do the word. Hallelujah. So they call up, they say, well, I want the application. The application. And all the time that application is taught, Jesus is absent. He's not present again. He's absent. He's no longer present. So if you're a preacher, be careful of trying to pander to the whims and caprices, what people want. Then you start to twist the scriptures. Because the scriptures are self-explanatory. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Are you following this? John 17, come on. Verse 1. Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to many as thou hast given him. Can you see this? So, what is the glory of the Father? Many. Many sons. Can you see this? So, there was glory in the incarnation, the only begotten, and there's now glorification of the glory. Many sons. Many. Look at this. Verse 3. And this is life eternal. That they, not me, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, have glorified thee on the earth. Can you imagine? He's already glorified. Then he says, we need to glorify the glorification. Hallelujah. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. But, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. This will take us a seminar. Hallelujah. Before the world was. You know, there's a difference between from the foundation of the world and before the world was. There are two different things. I taught you that before. Hallelujah. So, the Father is glorified in the Son, not because He raised up Jesus from the dead, and then Jesus abides alone. That's no glory. It's the fact that He has now become an archetype. He has become what you call the prototokos, first begotten from the dead. Colossians 1:18. He has now become the head of the church. Remember, I will build my church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So watch this now. So here's Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father. Don't forget, right hand is not the right side of the Father. Right hand is where all the authority of the Father is. So, go back to John 14. What are we to realize in that day? And I said that yesterday, I think, that every teaching of the Bible, every teaching in the church, must reflect what he said, else it will not be true. In that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, or my Father is in me. I am in you, and you are in me. In that day. Now, pay attention. If you study the epistles very well, you see different terms used for believers. You see the word saved. Romans 10:8, what saith he? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Great word. You find the word born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, 1 Peter 1:23, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. But you see, the most consistent term used for the believer is the word in Christ. It's the dominant word. You know, yesterday we saw in whom the whole house is framed together, growing into the holy temple. In whom again? It repeats so that you will know it is in him. In Christ. And Paul uses that term about 130 times, if not more. In him. In Christ. And what is the vital importance of the word in? Is not accidental. It is incidental. Go to John 14. Verse 17. He is with you. John 14:17. He is with you. So it's a deliberate word. Term. And you see, that term is so prominent, yet can go unnoticed. You might not even notice it. In. When I got saved, for example, they gave me a book, Assurance of Salvation. It had 6 chapters. 6. And everything in the chapter was an instruction. Everything in all the chapter. I mean, everything in the book that's supposed to assure me. I read the book. As I finished reading the book, I felt as I felt before I got saved. Nothing has changed. In fact, I now knew more things as you do. So, why did I get myself into trouble? And that's assurance of salvation. So, I mean, and you come up for altar call till the altar says, you came last week. Let someone else use this altar. Let's kill something else. Then one day, and the point of the thing was, I'd been reading, I will read the Bible and I'll see the word in Christ. It just appeal. If any man be in Christ, a new creature, it is to tell you to change. Don't you know that if any man is a new creature, see you? Is your life reflecting salvation? So it won't even dawn on you. Because wrong teaching is not harmless. It's very harmful. It will flood your mind. Imagine how you used to do evangelism. How can you go to and say, for all our sins and come short of the glory of God? And you stop there. And that is the gospel. So, one day, you know, I'd been reading. In fact, they now compounded my problem. Sorry, I'm telling you my story. And they now gave me Dick's Bible. Not Jake's Bible, Dick's Bible. To read. I read it. The whole thing just didn't make sense. I just dropped the Bible somewhere. Then, I now filled my Christian life with stories. People's books. Somebody went to hell, he came back. Somebody went to heaven, came back. Somebody went to both and came back. You know, and you read those things. One day, Just one day, by mistake, I now saw a small book. A small book by Kenneth Hagin. In him. You know, the first thing, I didn't know who the him was, so I just picked it. In him, who is the him? So I read it. And Brother Hagin said that every believer ought to take his Bible and mark where you find the word in Christ. In, I never knew those things mattered at all. In Christ. That you mark it, and every day you make a bold confession of them. That when you believe the gospel, these are the things you ought to know. I said, huh? That's how I began. Of course, I couldn't even get my Bible because I'm not sure I would have located any in anything. So by the time I looked at it, there were so many verses he was quoting. In him, you are. In him, you are. In him, you are. The thought was in my mind. I dropped the book. I was thinking about it. But the moment I entered another service, everything just raptured from my mind. Everything just blew up. The funny part was that even in spite of that, I was preaching. That's the ridiculous part of this. So, you will lead many people into your triumphant trail. I was. So here, when you go to another service, you hear, today, as we come to the house of the Lord, we want to share about the error of Balaam. I just switched Balaam. So I became Balaam. You know here, watch Delilah. 16 ways to spot Delilah. Just look at the sister near you. So she became Delilah. You are Samson without power. At least get the power first. You know, so, and that went on. So by the time, and there was a call of God to preach the gospel, but what to preach was not clear. I organized a meeting quickly. I had a burden. I said, people need to change. So I had a burden. So I organized a teaching conference. And my teaching conference, I drew the inspiration from one brother who shared with us on the call for revival. And when he was through, we were all on our knees. Oh God, oh God, oh God. So I felt that that was an inspiration to replicate the same thing. I hope you are following my point. I've never told this story in this detail before. So the brother who shared it is probably watching me too. I don't want to mention, he's a pastor in Lagos. So I was so burdened by what he said. I said, I must take this fire out. So I went to organize a teaching conference. And I dealt with them the way I was dealt with. I said, Brother Emmanuel Udoko, how was the service? I said, bro, I was revived. We were crying. I was so glad. What a meeting. That was how I started the work of ministry. Such a shame. That's why I don't do anniversary. But glory to God. The funny part was, I will quote a lot of scriptures. Apollos was far better. I will quote scriptures. Then, I dropped the Hagin book. I now like other Kenneth Hagin books, like I believe in visions. The woman with the black, the one that I remember, the one with the black spots. Check your life, bro. Are you sure there's no black spots? See where my mind went. I forgot the in him that he told me to read every day. So one fellow gave me a book by E.W. Kenyon. E.W. Kenyon. As I read the book, I started crying. You know, when you are crying, nobody beats you. You are crying because you should be beating yourself. So that in him book came back to my mind.
I saw him.
E.W. Kenyon said, the reason for the heavens is the earth. The reason for the earth is man. And the reason for man is fellowship. I said, see.
I said, eh? And I began to read it. Ah!
I was ashamed of all my sermons up till now.
So what?
Suddenly, a preposition made sense to me. You know, the preposition goes so unnoticed. In, by, of, with.
I never saw it.
So revelation is to put your mind on the truth. It's not one encounter from Mars. Revelation discharges you from nonsense.
I saw it.
I now saw that if any man be in Christ, he is, not he will become. All things are past, not will pass. All things have become new, not will become new. Then I saw the next one. All things are of, you know, I never in my life, I will read 17 and I will jump to 20. I will beseech you, be reconciled unto God. You don't get it. You don't get what I'm saying. You move from that 17 to 20. We beseech you, be ye reconciled unto God. I forgot 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by, proposition by, Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I never saw it. Religion was so blind, you won't see it. To wit, God was in Christ. I'll just keep it. I'm going to 20. Reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses. I never saw it. In fact, the one I will read after is chapter 6, verse 1. See it. I want you to see this one. That's where your mind will go. Chapter 6, verse 1. We therefore walk us together with him. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Brother, are you receiving the grace of God in vain? See the things I jumped. Why? Because there was no revelation. So, the prepositions are so vital that if you remove them, there is no relationship between us and Jesus. He stands alone and you stand alone. If you remove the prepositions, there is no salvation. In that day, you will know that I am in you. Preposition in. A writer, author was Wade, he said that the entire gospel can only be understood by the prepositions. In fact, Greek scholars agree on something. That the English Bible does not have enough capacity to contain the weight of those prepositions. So it can only use the word in. It's stronger than in. That is the, even Greek scholars are against Pentecostal, everyone, everybody agrees that the English language cannot capture what Jesus was saying. In, we can only explain it this way. So here's Jesus. He said, I go to my Father, and the going to the Father means he is coming. He's coming where? Come on now, I thought you were in church. He's coming where? So the going is a coming. Come and be going. Hallelujah. It's a coming. It is in us. So it says, in that day, you will realize. In the teaching services, you realize it. As you are singing, you realize it. Listen to me. Every song that does not reflect this fact takes your mind away from it. Every sermon. Every sermon that is focused on your experiences, not on him, will take you away from this fact. Are you there? Are you there? So we are in. And the book of Acts doesn't even reflect it. I told you yesterday. In mentioning the Father, the book of Acts quotes Jesus twice. And Peter just once. There is no other statement in that regard. Acts 1:4. The promise of my Father. Acts 1:7. With the Father as in his own power. Acts 2:33. And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Nothing, no preposition that explains relationship. That's why the book of Acts is an eyewitness account. I told you, in eyewitness account, there's always distance. The closest you will find is what Jesus himself said to Saul. Road to Damascus. He said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Acts 9. Why do you persecute me? I think that's the start. How do you persecute? Why do you persecute me? Then Paul said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus. I am Jesus. He didn't even say, I'm in them. I am. That's the closest that we have. Hallelujah. Are you there? Are you there? That's the closest we have. So, don't forget. In the incarnation, the Father is glorified in the Son. In the resurrection and exaltation, the glorified Son is re-glorified. Hallelujah. Allow me to use that term. Go to John 14. Let's see something. So, what is the going? Oh, come on. Talk to me. What is the going to the Father? The Father coming in. The going to the Father is the Father coming in. So let's see what happens. John 14. Say, I'm in. Say, I am in. You can't teach people this and then you are asking for application. They've not heard it enough. People haven't heard it enough. A fellow said this one time and I told him that's an insult. He said, the problem in the Nigerian church is the grace message. Now, I'm not a grace preacher. I preach grace, but I'm not a grace preacher. I just preach the Bible. You know. Then I asked the fellow, I said, what you have said here is a defamation. It's a lie. The major denominations in this country don't preach what you are saying. How can that be the problem? Something that has not even been taught has become the problem. It is the fear of religion. Religion thinks that when you are free, you will sin. But Jesus said, he that the Son has set free is free indeed. Religion has a thinking. I've seen the pastor tell me, if you say this kind of thing, how would they now respect me? You say we are all the same. We are all the same in Christ. So what is my role? That's not true. Watch this now. John 14. Are you there? Are you there? Come on. Let's see it. He that believes in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater than this, because I go to my Father. 13. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. How would he do it in absence? He's talking about presence. That the Father may be glorified where? In the Son. So, when he says, in my name, what's he saying? Come on, don't lose this one. When you say name, a name can either mean a title, a position, an accomplishment, or a label. A title, a position, an accomplishment, or a label. So, in this regard, what do we call the name of Jesus? Is it a title or an accomplishment and position? Come on, respond, come on. An accomplishment and a position. So, what will be the accomplishment? In that day, what will be the accomplishment? Huh? Come on. What will be the accomplishment? That he is raised from the dead and sits at the right hand of the Father. Listen now. And he is in us. So in that authority, in that position, so the name will be what? The name will be Christ in you. That's the name. The name will be Christ in you, or you in him. That will be the name. That's why he said, whatever you ask, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So hear this now. He is talking about authority. So the same way he has authority, that is, the Father has given him all authority. He says you are in. In other words, you have the same authority. Go to Ephesians 1. Okay, let's just look at a couple of ones. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. All authority, Matthew 28, 18, 19. All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28, 18 and 19. Mark 16, 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. And in those two instances, he's talking about how far he rose from the dead. Luke 24, verse 27. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in my name. In my name. John 20, 31. And that believing, you have life through his name. So it appears that Jesus, referring to his name, wasn't talking about J-E-S-U-S. Obviously, it appears that what he calls his name is in his accomplishment. In my accomplishment, whatever you ask will be done. In my accomplishment, if you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. In my accomplishment, in my finished task, my finished work, repentance and remission of sins will be preached. In my accomplishment, you will receive life. Let me see if you understand that. Come on. Is that very clear? So he's not talking about the mentioning of his name. No. He's talking about the accomplishment that he has upon his resurrection. Are you there? Are you there? Look at Ephesians 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ephesians 1. Look at Paul's prayer. Paul's prayer in 19, it says, and the exceeding greatness, Ephesians 1, 19, towards what we believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, listen now, and set him at his own right hand in the heavens, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. He has put all things under his feet, gave her all our things to the church, his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you. So what he accomplished, he filled us with it. You see now? In Ephesians 2, verse 5, it says, God, who had quickened us together with Christ from our sins and trespasses, by grace are you saved. He has made us sit together with Christ in the heavenlies, together with Christ, in Christ. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6. So, he is calling the name of Jesus is accomplishment. The name of Jesus is not a spelling. The name of Jesus is a finished work. It's not a spelling. It's not J-E-S-U-S. The name of Jesus is his work, what he accomplished, which is now situated in where he is. Hear this now. Go to Philippians 2. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Philippians 2. Some guys say, well, that David picked 5 stones to kill Goliath because Jesus is J-E-S-U-S. It doesn't take long to be an illiterate. The Hebrew of Jesus is Joshua. It's not 6. And the Greek of Jesus is Heusios. It's not 6 letters. And they were not speaking English back then. So your revelation falls to nothing. Some guys will say, the Bible says in the 7th day of, on the 8th month of the 14th year, the Lord rose and said unto Hezekiah, this, if this is your 14th year, I speak to you today. If it's your 14th year. The Jewish calendar is different. The Gregorian calendar came up how many years ago? So it's a revelation, not a revelation. Hallelujah. You get my point. Just make things simple. Amen. Make it simple. Have we not been very simple here? Come and talk to me. Very simple. You see it yourself. Alright, look at this. Philippians 2. Are you there? Come on, are you there? Come on, are you there? Philippians 2 now. Watch this. Verse 5. Let this man be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Verse 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. This is incarnation now. Even the death of the cross. Let's take verse 9 together. Everybody, let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's take it one more time. Wherefore, also, have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Hold on, hold on. How would you exalt then give a name? No, it's the exaltation that is the name. That is, the exaltation of Jesus is that name. Because he didn't become Jesus Justus. He gave him a name, meant he exalted him. Ephesians says, far above, 20 and 21, all principality and power, might and dominion. So the Father, watch this now, had given him a name which is above every name. That is, above every other work, above every other authority, above every, a chair is a name. A chair is a name. The name of Jesus above a chair. Stop saying things like that. Name there will refer to authority. He exalted him above any kind of authority. That at that name, glory to God. So when you say at the name of Jesus, what would that mean? Come on, look up. At the resurrection of Jesus, at the exaltation of Jesus, at the ascension of Jesus to the right hand of the Father, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Glory to God. Of things in heaven, the word things in there, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. So it's not a mention. What he says in verse 10 has already happened. At the mention of your name, every knee shall bow. If you have to mention his name for the knees to bow, that means he doesn't have that name yet. But he has the name. Above all principalities and power and might. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So when we say we have the name of Jesus, we are talking about where we are in Christ. So when I say in the name of Jesus, is the same as a new creature. If I say, in the name of Jesus, it means as a son of God. If I say, in the name of Jesus, it means I am the righteousness of God. If I say, in the name of Jesus, it means I am justified. If I say, in the name of Jesus, it means I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. If I say, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, it means as he is, so am I. So when I say, in the name of Jesus, it's not a pronunciation, it's a walk. Hallelujah. Let me see if you're following this. Come on. So the name of Jesus is not for mentioning. Praise God. Hallelujah. The G, J, give me a big J. Justify me. Elevated me. Sanctify me. U.S. umbrella over me. Jesus. That's the way I am. Praise the Lord. And what is Isaiah? Look at Psalm 110 verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord, sit, oh glory, glory, at my right hand. Sit. Sit. Glory, glory, glory. Sit until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Sit. The Hebrew says, remain seated. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. That's not your bum bum on a chair. When you say he is seated, people think, seated in majesty, you are the risen King. That means he's seated like this. So they are carrying him all over heaven. No! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Seated is a position above. It's not a geographical location. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't expect him to sit. I'm seated. I'm seated. It's what happened when he was raised from the dead. As he was raised from the dead, that act is called seated. Praise God. You get it? That act is what is called seated. That is why we are also seated. And you don't find your bum bum on any seat. But you are seated. Why? Because you are raised together. Hallelujah. By being raised together, you are also seated. Let me see if you understand this. Is it clear? Okay. So, you need to realize that. We are seated. We are seated in him. So the name of Jesus is the believer's authority. It belongs to us. E.W. Kenyon said something blew my mind. He said it took us faith to enter into the body. Now that we are in the body, all things are ours. We don't need faith for what belongs to us. I dropped the book. Two kinds of faith. I said, what's this? All my life, I've been told, believe. When you believe, where you believe. I was never told that being a believer means I have believed. Because if I'm yet to believe, if I have to believe, I can't be called a believer. I'm a believer because I have believed the gospel. He said, you don't teach a believer to believe. He has believed. So that's why you will never find the word to believe in the epistles. Is we have believed. What you find in the epistles, we have to know. When the unbeliever hears the gospel, faith comes. When the believer hears it, it is knowledge that comes. Not faith. These truths are so vital. They are so important. They are so important. So important. Imagine, as a younger fellow, I used to fall ill. And then my dad took me to a prophet in love. I'm not blaming him. That's what he knew. And the prophet said, he's your firstborn. Obviously. Said, in your family, everyone lost their first children at a particular age. Said, but He stayed for a covenant reason. I didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, I have to do some prayers. So I'm wondering. So I go to another Christian leader to tell him what I was told. He said, it's true. These things happen. So I moved from fry pan to fire. He now said, I have to fast. But I didn't fast for them to put me in this trouble. Why do I have to fast? He said, I have to fast. And I was fasting. He said, I have to pray. And I was praying. And I was praying. And the more of prayer I was praying, the more stupid I became. The more I was afraid and superstitious. Till I heard, believers don't need deliverance. I said, eh? No, there are some things you hear. You first of all go crazy. Did you say something? Believers don't need deliverance. I argue with that fellow. Are you now telling me that this person is wrong? That person is wrong. He said, come now. He said, look at Colossians 1. That was the verse he used. But then, why then? So, never blame people when they react like that. You get it? It's called, it's a withdrawal symptom. You are just coming and you'll be, So be patient. Hallelujah. Be patient. You know, some of us that were in very conservative background, even in somewhere in our minds, they see that old feeling. Some of you are blessed too. You started out in Christ, through Christ. You just I look at some of you and say, You've never gone for sanctification prayers. You've never died to the self. Died to self. You've never died to self before. Lord, kill me tonight. You've never done it before. No wonder it is called license to sin. You've never done it before. Lord, tonight. My brother Aziz. So I'm going to die tonight. He slept off. Brother Aziz. My dearly beloved brother. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. Glory, glory, glory. Look at Ephesians 6:10. So, the name of Jesus is the believer's authority. When I say, I am the righteousness of God, that is the name of Jesus. I'm calling the name of Jesus. When I say, he's at work in me, I'm calling the name of Jesus. Is that clear? Now look at this. Ephesians 6:10. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Where is the power? Just the same book. The same book told you the exceeding greatness of his power towards what that believe. According to the working of his mighty power, Ephesians 1:19, which he wrought where? In Christ. The same book, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above whatever we ask or imagine or think, according to the power at work where? In us. So when it says, be strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, it means take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. It will be your, don't say, Lord, strengthen me, Lord. Lord, strengthen me, Lord. It's like saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. You be strong. You take what you have. You use what you have. I like what Mark Hankin says. He said, the believer's authority is not just important, it is necessary. That is, you must use it. You must take advantage of it. Now, let me show you a verse of scripture. I'm going to explain this more tomorrow morning as we leave camp meeting, but I'm just going to mention this quickly. Then he mentions taking the whole armor of God. Put it on, that you may be able to withstand, stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, this verse, Ephesians 6:11, has been used for all sorts of things. But what's he talking about? There are some believers, this verse does not apply to them. And I'll show you shortly. Doesn't apply to you. It has been used for spiritual warfare. Where it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. So when you get to your office and they put a query on your table. Pastor has told me we wrestle against. For everything happening on earth must have first happened in the spirit. Have you heard that before? So Chelsea fans think they won the league in the spirit. You know, I've left you guys this campaign. I'm walking in love. So don't try and... Hallelujah. So there are people... I'm the one preaching. There are people this verse can refer to. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word is palei. That is, we resist. Listen carefully now. Many people have used this verse to fight people in their family. But he's talking about the advancement of the preaching of the gospel. It's not applicable if you are not preaching the gospel. It's not about you in your office. No. That's why he said your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying for all saints and for me. That utterance be granted. Hallelujah. He's talking about the preaching of the gospel. When there's opposition, he said, that opposition is not flesh and blood. To the preaching of the gospel. Not a lecturer in your campus saying you will fail that course. So you have to waste the place. Enter your room. I stand against that man. Every spirit walking in professor so and so. Die. Die. There was someone in my university. I went to see a friend, so I saw her. My university day, sorry. So she said, so she knew me from a conference I preached. Said, thank you, you are here, sir. So why are you here to see Pastor? He said, there's a lecturer. He said, I'm going to have an extra. Sir, he must die tonight. I said, is what Christians say, die, and their heart does not shake. He must die tonight. I said, why? He said, yes. I'm the apple of God's eye. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. I said, the funny part was, it was the same lecturer that helped me get into the school. He must die tonight. He must die tonight. He said, tonight. And she was looking haggard. Her hair was a very pretty sister. But, you know, when those things scatter you, just be looking ridiculous. He said, no, that's not. No. So I said, calm down. He said, sir, nobody can touch God's children and go scot-free. No. I said, no one is dying tonight. So I walked away. I didn't see her. But the next semester, I saw her. At the cafeteria or the canteen. So I saw her gently with the fruit of the Spirit taking her extra year. So I said, good day, sis. She looked at me, okay. The man became the dean that year. He died and rose from the dead. Nonsense. We do not respond evil with evil. It's not in our family. It's not in our structure. We don't even say it as a joke. Our fire does not joke with it. Are you there? So why did he say be strong in the Lord? Be strong in the Lord against opposition to the gospel. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Say those who that oppose you is not flesh and blood. There have been verses used for personal application. That is not true. Look at it again. Above all, taking the, after 15, the shield of faith, where would you be able to crush all the fear of the wicked? And take the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God, and the sword of which is the word of God, praying always all prayer and supplication in, and washing down to with all perseverance, as with all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We are to be strong for the gospel, to withstand in the evil day when there's opposition against the gospel. That's what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. The same thing. 2 Corinthians 10. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 3. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What was he talking about? Watch this. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Spiritual warfare is the preaching of the gospel. Did you hear me? It's not battling unseen enemies. Watch this. But mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Of what? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That cannot be in you. Are you following this? And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Because he had told you earlier in chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, is hid in them who are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. So what do? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. It comes by preaching. Are you there? As we preach the gospel, we pull down the stronghold. We cast down every imagination and every knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every high thing. Pardon me. That's the preaching of the gospel. And we bring all the thought to the obedience of Christ. The preaching of the gospel. That's not in us. That's in men. Those that don't believe. So, the strongholds are where? Are they in the spirit realm or in men? Exactly. So, Corinthians 2, one more. So that's my favorite verse. 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us. Where? In every place. He's not talking about you owning houses or cars. Again, he's talking about the preaching of the gospel. Look at verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from hence unto Macedonia. Are you following now? Thanks be unto God. Can you see? That is, when I now go to Macedonia, he causes us to triumph in Christ. That is, it's a triumphant train. Alright? When you are displaying the victory of a war. Follow this one. And makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God the sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, as we preach. In them that perish, to one we are the savor of death unto death. To the other, the savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God, in the sight of God we speak in Christ. Can you see it? It's so clear. So, 2 Corinthians 2:14, we make manifest the savor of his knowledge by doing what? By doing what? Preaching the gospel. I'll take this on tomorrow more. So it's important that we realize, I want to show you something quickly, that the primary reason why we're given the authority is for more people to be saved. The primary reason is for salvation. Did you notice that in as he left the world, look up everyone, every time he mentioned his name, he was talking about salvation. All authority in heaven and earth is given me. Go. Mark 16, go into all the world. Luke 24, 47. Repentance and remission of sins is preached in my name. John 20, 31. That through his name, men will receive life. Let me see how they're following this command. Are you following me? So the believer's authority is primarily, are you hearing this? For the preaching of the gospel. For the preaching of the gospel. Amen. Are you there? That's why in the book of Acts, go and read, when they mention his name, it's for the advancement of the gospel. The book of Acts. In the book of Acts. Look at it. Acts 2. Are you learning something? Come on, guys. Are you learning something? Acts 2. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Acts 2. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Acts 3. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 6. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, faith which is by him had given him his perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts 4:12. Watch this. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Are you following this? So by the time you see all the acts that were done in the book of Acts, look at chapter 4, verse 18. 4:18. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts 5:40. And to him they agreed that when they had called the apostles and beaten them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. In verse 28, Acts 5, one more. Acts 5:28. He says, Acts 5:28. And saying, did we not straight command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. So the name of Jesus was a teaching. It's primarily for the advancement of the cause of the gospel. That's why he died. That's why he rose from the dead. That's why he's seated in the right hand of the Father. Are you there? Come on, are you there? Are you there? Primarily for the advancement of the gospel. We must always see that. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Let's see one or two more things. So today, we sit in that name. We are in that name. Say, I'm in that name. Say, I'm in that name. Say, I'm in that name. So you say, call the name of Jesus 7 times. Jesus, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name. Someone say, I don't like it. Say, in the mighty name of Jesus. What difference does it make? Does the name need an adjective? No. If you say the name of just 8 times, I will say, are you righteous? You say, no. So you see, you don't understand the name. It's a spelling that you know. You do not know the office. So today, we are seated in the name. We are seated in him. Hallelujah. That's where we are. Say, I'm seated in the name. There's a song we sing. God in man who died for man, and he rose as a man. So we give it to God the man who died for man. Take it again. God in man who died for man, and he rose as a man. So we give praise to God the man who died for man. Hallelujah. He died and rose. Look at the wordings very well. Hallelujah. That's the name. We are the new creation. Hallelujah. He has given us his name. He has given us his name. Hallelujah. In his name we rule and reign. Hallelujah. In his name we have dominion. In his name we have dominion. Hallelujah. Now we can do the works of Jesus. Hallelujah. So we give praise to God and man who died for man. Hallelujah. So the name of Jesus is a confession. That's our confession of faith. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Are you learning something this morning? Let us therefore by him offer the sacrifice of praise continually, which is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. The word giving thanks there is the word homologio. Confessing his name. In other words, we confess what he has done. Yet, write this down. The name of Jesus is our confession. Every time we say who he is and what he has done, we are using the name. We are walking in the name. Hear this. Hear this. So it's a confession. It's a confession. It's a confession. The name of Jesus ought to be our words. What we say. Follow this one. It's our authority. That's who we are. That's what we have. Glory to God. I said glory to God. That's who we are. That's what we have. That's where we are. So how do we walk in this reality? How do we use this? Don't forget. We said the name of Jesus is our authority. That's what belongs to us. How do we use his authority? How do we do it? Praise God. I said praise God. Imagine the Bible without verbs. Everything is a noun. So there are verbs. There are active words. Active words. In other words, the name of Jesus creates activity for us in the earth. Where we are. How do we use it? Now let's track back. And look at how Jesus, don't forget, we said there's the glory of the incarnation. Can you remember that? Can you remember that? There's the glory of the incarnation. There's the glory of his death, his burial, his resurrection. And then the glory of his ascension to the right hand of the Father. But let's look at Jesus. What did Jesus do? How did he walk in his name in the four Gospels? How did he walk? Matthew 8. Something unique happened there. And Jesus made a note of it. A man came to him, a centurion, and he said, Master, verse 6, please turn to this. Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And then Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. In other words, I'm going to come to you, to your house, and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. Matthew 8:8. That thou shalt come under my roof. Notice this. Speak the word only. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And Jesus said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Listen now. The man said something about Jesus that people might never have noticed. That is, the way you exercise your authority is by words. The man noted that. And Jesus said, wow, I haven't found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Pay attention. Remember Matthew's Gospel 16. He says, I will build my church, verse 18, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what things soever you bind on earth, that's authority, shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, we use this authority. We use it. We walk in the reality. And this man here, he's showing us how Jesus used his authority. Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? Remember, in fact, it was after this that Matthew says about Jesus, Matthew 8:16, that he cast out the spirit with his words. Matthew recorded that with his words. Your presence will do nothing without your words. With his words. So in Mark 11, here's Jesus and the 12. They go and they see a fig tree. And Jesus said, no man eat of thee again hereafter. And they heard him. But somehow, they did not take cognizance of what he did. He spoke to the tree. And then the tree dried up. No, the tree didn't dry up, sorry. He spoke to the tree. So they came back about 3 days after. Some say the day after, it doesn't matter. Even if they came back a few hours after, that's not the important part. And they're coming back, and Peter paid attention. Said, Master, the tree that you cursed has withered away. He was surprised. That means Peter did not know the importance of words. Because he saw nothing happen, they didn't take cognizance of what had just happened. So Jesus now turned to them and said, have faith in God. Or better still, have the faith of God. For verily, verily, I say unto you, pay attention here. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have what things soever that he says. Jesus is explaining how he uses his authority. In other words, Jesus is saying authority is dormant if it's not released with words. The believer's authority is exercised with words. You must say. You must say. Are you following this? Are you following this? You must only say. Say. I must say. What did you just do now? You said so. Words come from our lips so easily that we don't put attention on them. You must say. It looked like, I thought, when they said, well, the tree dried up from his roots. Jesus, what happened? I said, you want to know why? Well, a couple of years ago, I was going on the road, and then this fire dropped on my head. I started to shake. I said, Lord, what meanest thou? I have appointed thee. I have anointed thee and disappointed thee to be my sledgehammer in the nations. So Peter, that's it all. If you also want to do that, go on the same road. Maybe your own will be thunder, not fire. He said, whosoever shall say, shall say. Shall say, shall say. The believer's authority is used by words. Listen carefully. Did you notice that Jesus always said who he was? He always did. I am the resurrection and the life. He dared to say who he was. He dared to say who the Father was to him. He dared to say what he could do. He wasn't just filling up space. He was walking in his rights and privileges. You must learn to be bold and dare to say what God says. Write this down. You must dare to say what you have in Christ. You know, some folks, the only places they say those things is in the service. is in the service. You must dare to see who you, what you have in Christ. You must dare to say who you are. How often do you say it? How often? Listen to this. Hebrews 13:5. He said, the Lord has said so that you will boldly say. Listen to me. Hear this. Who do you think needs the words in the scriptures? God? No. The words written in the scriptures are not for God to use. They are for you to use. Those words are your words. Put down for you in black and white so you can start using them. I am what he says I am. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My father is the husbandman. What do I say? I say, I am in the vine. The father is the husbandman. Jesus says, listen to me. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I say, I don't walk in darkness. I have the light of life. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. I say, I am the light of the world. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in that day, where I am, there you will be also. I say, I am where he is. Jesus says, in the Father's house, there are many mansions. Say, I'm a mansion of the Father. I must dare to say what I have. In spite of apparent opposition, I must say where I am. I am raised together with Christ. I've been made to sit together with Christ. Paul says, you are the temple of God. I say, I am the temple of God. You must dare to say who you are. You must dare to say where you are. The believer's authority is not just given to us, it is necessary. I must. You must not keep your mouth shut. I must dare to say what I have. It's mine. It's mine. The Father is mine. The Father is mine. Jesus kept saying, I and the Father are one. You know, you would hardly find him say anything, particularly in the Gospel of John, without mentioning the Father. I must consistently affirm my irreversible union with the Father. I must say it all the time. I must say it all the time. I must say it all the time. All the time. The believer's authority is not just important, it is necessary. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Say, I choose to be active. Say, I choose to be active. He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Say, I am led, but I've been led by the Spirit of God. I am a son of God. It's written so you will have what to say. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. What do I say? I do not have the spirit of bondage to fear. I have the spirit of adoption, and I say, Abba, Father. I say that the Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. I must take those words and turn them into my daily confession. I will say it unconsciously. I will say it consciously. I must say, the Lord is my strength, is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I must always say what he said I am. It becomes inoperative if I don't say it. God saying it about me has no effect until I say it myself. When I say I have no effect, I mean I'm what he says I am. But you see, in my walk in this earth, I must put a verb to the noun. A noun, I am the righteousness of God. The verb, I say it. I say, I dare to say who I am. 2 Corinthians 6:14, I am Christ. He says, know ye not that what fellowship has darkness with light? So I say, I am light. Righteousness with unrighteousness. I say, I am righteousness. The temple of God with idols. I say, I am the temple of God. I must dare to say what he says about me. Are you there? Are you following this? You must fill your day with words about you. Don't forget. What is written is for you to have what to say. Say, I have what to say. So they say, I don't know what to say. I say, you actually have what to say. In the midst of confusion, when your head is going like this, you are looking at your business, the whole thing is going bad, you're looking at your career, you just say, I do not walk in darkness. I have the light of life. I can't be confounded. I can't be confounded. I can't be confounded. Don't say, the Lord has said, I can't be confounded. Thank you for saying that. Now, you not put it on your mouth. I cannot be confounded. Hallelujah. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Sometimes I don't like using the word we. I say, I am. I'm more than conquerors. I am. I am. I am. Learn to put the word I am. Learn to say it often. I am. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. And I can do what he says I can do. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:30. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? So our songs ought to be our confession. Our songs must not be pouring our hearts to God. We are just worshiping the God of Israel. Our songs should be acknowledging an acknowledgement. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Look at this. Let's start from 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto me, unto us, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as really he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That means I must glory. I must glory. How do you glory? You talk. I say that Christ is my wisdom. I say that Christ is my righteousness. I say that Christ is my sanctification. I say that Christ is my redemption. I must dare to say it. I say it exactly how it was said. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. Galatians 6:14. Say, I glory not in myself, but in the cross of Christ, of whom I'm crucified, you know, to the world. So I say that I've been crucified with Christ. I say, nevertheless, I live. The life I live in the Christ lives in me. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I must turn those words into my own. They are not just to be read and liked and admired. A man by the name of John Wesley said this. He said there's something that the devil seems to have given the church that looks like faith, but is not it. He says mental assent. Mental assent. Where someone will readily say, ah, it's true, it's in God's word. Yes, it is written. I can see it there. But when he says he's talking about you, he begins to say, me? Maybe I shall, well, the way I'm seeing it, is mental assent. Mental assent is when you see the truth, but you cannot affirm it for yourself. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Now let's see a couple of things, you know, briefly. Do you know that preaching is part of that glory? As we preach, we glory in his name. We glory in his name. Look at Hebrews 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there are people here, you need to change how you talk. You talk too low of yourself. Talk too down on yourself. You talk your experiences more than the truth of God's word. It's time to begin to speak the truth of God's word. Whatever is in God's word about you, dare to say it. You are actually being realistic. You are being realistic. There is no greater reality than what God has said about me. Hallelujah. I am what he says I am. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. Look at Hebrews 2. Are you learning something here? Yes, Hebrews 2:12. Look at verse 11. For both he that sanctified and he those that sanctify are all of one. Say, I'm sanctified. And I have the same Father as Jesus. He's not ashamed to call me his own brother. Look at verse 12. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. I will declare it. I will say it. I will sing it. I will say it. What is his name? Hebrews 1:5 says he gave him a more excellent name than the angels. So he's saying to us that the name he gave to Jesus belongs to us. I will declare your name. in the midst of the congregation. That means whatever God did to Christ, when he raised him far above all angels, we are there today. You know, I can say boldly, that I'm far above any angel. Amen. I'm far above any angel, falling, staying, or about to fall. Hallelujah. I'm far above. It also means I'm far above any demon. Any demon. Any demon. You see, if you hear a demon is around, that's the time to sleep. That's the time to sleep. That's the right time to sleep. See, if you have been to the boarding house, I don't know those of you who went to military schools and you are soldiers, but the little I knew in the boarding house, there's authority. There is real authority. When you use it, you use it. Real authority. There are some seniors I had when they talk. We are all students, but students past students. The guy will just say, one goat, and you are doing your quiet time, serving the Lord. One goat, in right in that glory, you say, yes, please. That's authority. A guy will say, when you are coming from home, you take your provision like this, you go into his room to report. He takes what he wants and returns the balance to you. So be it. So I had seen that. Praise God. And I desired that one day I will also be a senior. I will call all the goats. You know, you've seen that. And then you don't say, sit down. Is a senior that is weak. I say, kneel down. I say, kneel down. I say, kneel down. I say, kneel down. Now it works. When Egbo Asha looks at you like this, you will kneel down on your own. Sam, kneeling down. Hallelujah. You don't sweat. Say, the demon is somewhere. And what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? Do about what? Someone told me, say, when I see someone possessed, I say, God, take control. I say, you have lost control. Hallelujah. The easiest part is the demon part. That's the easiest part. Because it's not flesh and blood. It makes it easy. Hallelujah. Maybe if it's flesh and blood, trouble will beat you. But if it's not flesh and blood, that's the easiest part. When I was growing up as a Christian, and they after church service, they say they are doing deliverance. 5 hours. And the sister will be turning, her hair scattered, she's looking like, I don't know what to call it. Say, out, manifest. This demon is, you are being stubborn. Open your mouth. Every exit. I knew something was wrong. Because if you have authority, and you say, go, goes. But go. That's no longer authority. That's drama. But we have authority. Jesus never cast any spirit out in a sentence. I therefore say unto you, as you go, you must come, you must come. In my name, you will cast out them. Do you know something? Until Jesus, no prophet cast out them, devils. They healed the sick, they raised the dead, but that devil passed. But when he came, he's master over everything. Hallelujah. So when he cast out the devil, he said, he's part of them, he's part of them. Is part of them. How can a man cast out devils? He said, if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God is here. Hallelujah. So that is the easiest part. Hallelujah. I went to one time, the guy said, do you know me? I said, I'll disgrace you in your town. That's the easiest part. You are going to use words. There's nothing you use but words. When you are done, I'll say my own. And my own is above every other name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the easiest part. And interestingly, that's the one people do. That's the one they do a whole online service over. We take authority. Oh God, yes. Oh God, they want to cast out a demon. They first turn to God. Father Lord Jesus, I don't know who that is. Father Lord Jesus. Some people today, when they are praying, they'll be saying, "Oh Lord," in prayer. Know who you are to Father, the Father. Say, "Oh Lord, we come to, we could say Father in Jesus' name. Father, is he the one that is possessed? In Jesus' name, our Father, we ask. We thank you. Thank you for possessing. We thank you for everything. You say in all things you give thanks. But Father, we ask you right now to move over us. It's sin consciousness that is your problem. Hallelujah. In the name. You don't even have to mention name. So I command you now. That I is the I in him. I command you. Also, there was a lady, she said they feared the day that anytime that she has something in her mouth, that once she says something, it comes to pass. That she has something in her mouth. It was in my area there. So anyway, people are afraid of God. Her name was, I think it's a Muslim name. That's what I said. So I said, hey, said they have one tree like that, that is a purple tree. I said, let's start with that one. Cause the thing! Cause the thing! A brother, he said, sir, do you... Brethren. We call this. So when you get, I said, you have something here. That when you say something, it's called, you say something. She said, no, it's not like that. She said, leave her alone. She said, it's not like that. If somebody says he's a witch, are you a witch? He says, no. That means you are not a witch. Yoruba said that if they say you abuse the king, and they ask if you abuse the king, you say you didn't abuse the king, that means you don't abuse the king. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, there's something, there's a pot that's hidden under the bed. Go and carry it out and cook with it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Paul says, if they tell you that a food is for idols, he said, eat it. There's an idiot and say, I sanctify this food. I purify it. I ask Holy Ghost purifier. Holy Ghost insecticide. Go in right now. You are confused. People pray over food to prevent evil. Bible never says you pray over food. It's to give thanks for the foods. Not say, I command. And this food, it is sanctified. They sanctify food. When you tell them they are sanctified, they say no. But you can sanctify Bali. Religion is a bastard. Take the food and eat it. You know, when I was a younger Christian, one of the ways I got to know about the believer's authority, that is an unconscious reality. Someone actually confessed, you know, that she poisoned my food. I was not a strong Christian at all. I was not even strong enough to know that I was still a believer. She said three times, and it never affected me. I didn't know. But if I had suspected her, and I'm taking the food, Father Lord Jesus. Superstition enters. Fear enters. Then the thing will enter. Eat food easily. Whoever cooks it. If the devil that cooks it, the more reason why you should eat it. Because the food is not his own. The earth is the Lord's. I had one shrine in my... there was something they put in my father's palace. They said they put something in my father's palace. And this one, I said, was it? Meat. I said, is it not food? If they put meat in something, it's not food. How can somebody take bread, egg, and chicken, like lovely chicken, well prepared, in a T junction? He's offering it to gods. Help them out. Eat it. so that the sacrifice can be accepted. Hallelujah. Me and my friends, we used to go around looking for those. After a while, those guys were smart. They now changed the thing. They are now putting a echo. I said, put chicken. When you don't expect somebody to eat it, the gods are dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How can you hear that they put something in your food? You ate something. That's what is disturbing you. Spiritual injection. Hallelujah. He eats. Jesus ate in the house of Zacchaeus. He ate in the house of the Pharisees. He ate in Samaria. He ate everywhere. He didn't bless it at all. You better eat. Me, I eat. Whether you're in a dream or not in a dream, you are the same when you are asleep. Your authority does not sleep when you sleep. See, you know, since you are sleeping, the authority has slept. So if they give you food in your sleep, whoever gives it, someone say, what if the person that gave you is a spirit? The more is why it will be nice. It won't have impurity. Hallelujah. I'm what he says I am. I have what he says I have. So I use my words. I say what I have. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Such as we have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk. I walk in this reality. I walk in this reality. I dare to say what I am. I dare to say who I am. I dare to say what I have. I also dare to say what I can do. Hallelujah. What if a believer commits sin? That's the angle that some people start shaking. As though they are God. God doesn't shake at it. What if a believer commits sin? Paul says nothing. Because he has given you God's word. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what does he expect you to say? I have forgiveness of sins. Saying I have sinned does not glorify the name. That's not what glorifies the name. John says it like this. He says, if you confess your sins, is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse from all unrighteousness. Is your confession their sins or what he is faithful to do? How can your confession be sin? Your confession has to be Jesus. He is faithful and just to cleanse from all unrighteousness and to forgive. That's why in chapter 2 verse 1 he said, if any man sin, he has. Say, I have. So your confession is what you have. I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation of our sins, not only us, but also the whole world. I'm bold about who I am. I'm bold about what I have. You must learn to dare. I'm closing. You must dare to say who you are. You must dare to say what you have. Hebrews 13:5. He said, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that you may boldly say. Notice that. He has said. He's not the one that has to be bold. You are the one that has to be bold. He has said, so that you may boldly say. I boldly say. I dare to say who I am. I say I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing. In the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. I say I'm chosen of God. I'm without blame. With him in love. I say I'm predestined. I am a son of God. By Jesus Christ. I say I'm accepted. in the beloved. I say I'm forgiven according to the riches of his grace. I say what I have. I say who I am. I say what I can do. Hallelujah. We don't grow weak, we get stronger. We get stronger. I'm what he says I am. I'm bearing fruit. I'm bearing fruit. I dare to say what he has said. I dare to say what he has said. That you may boldly say, boldly, you are the one that will make your confession bold. Why would you say boldly? That means there will be circumstances that will be contrary to what you are about to say. You see apparent weakness and failure, and you say, the Lord is my strength. I will never be weak. You see sin consciousness all over you because you just committed a sin. You say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. As he is, so am I in this world. Sin has no dominion over me. I'm free from sin. I'm alive unto God. You dare to say what he has said. I have the light of life. I have the light of life. I don't walk in darkness. I dare to say who I am. I dare to say what I have. And I dare to say what I can do. Go ahead, let's do that song this morning. Come on. Come on. Go ahead, come on. Dare to say it. Hold on. Do you know what it means to be daring? Be daring. Dare to say it. I am what he says I am. I've got the wisdom of God. My mind is not confused. Never. I want us to sing some songs this morning that affirm our rights and privileges in Christ. We are going to dare to say it. We are going to be daring. Dare to say what he has said. Dare to say it. Dare to say it. I dare say. I dare say. I dare say. I am in the vine. My father is the husbandman. I dare to say. I have what he says I have. I can do what he says I can do. I dare say. I can't be defeated. I'll never quit. I dare say, I'm more than a conqueror. I dare say, I've overcome the world. I dare say, I'm not confused. I dare say, I cannot see. I dare say, I am his glory. I dare say. Say it. Say. I dare say. We want to sing some songs for about 10 minutes. Some songs that are daring.
I walk in the light as he is in the light. I don't walk in confusion as he comes to me.
Hold on. This is a confession. You don't say this because things are going smoothly. You don't say this after you just had a very happy incident. You say this in the face of apparent defeat. When it appears like you really don't know what to write, who to call, you say,
I walk in the light as he is in the light. I don't want